God. And I hope Brother Brown's looking down tonight. If he's looking down and he could speak, you'd say, "Wormy, are you going to sing a little while tonight?" And I always used to say that when I preached out of Solomon. That's where I'm going to be tonight. I'm going to turn in your Bibles there. Song of Solomon in chapter number 8 in the Word of God. Song of Solomon in chapter number 8. All right. And we'll try to get her text read and bring the message that God's laid on my heart for tonight. You know, I don't mean to make excuses, but when you spend 2 days in Nashville and then a Friday night like we did here and have company over the weekend, it's kind of hard to get everything together that you want to get together. And the Lord's laid this on my heart. It's right in line with what we've been preaching on the last few days on Friday night and what I tried to preach around and preach on this morning. And I hope that tonight will help you and be a blessing to you, okay? Song of Solomon, chapter number 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement heat, flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we can love you because you first loved us. Thank you for the great and marvelous love of our God. And love so much and so deeply that you went to Calvary in our place, suffered and died, rose again for our justification. I want to thank you, Lord, that you ever liveth tonight to make intercession for us. And at times, even with groanings, which cannot be understood. Now, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching tonight, that you'd help the preacher with liberty, that you'd help me with the power and unction that I need. Do bless those that are away from us, those that are sick, those that have special needs in their life. I do pray for those that are here and those by the radio. Hey, God, that you'd bless and help them with the needs of their life. May your precious name be magnified. Lift it up tonight and everything that is said and done. Give us grace now and divine help and liberty. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, our text verse for tonight is found in verse number 7. And this is where Solomon, the wise man, the son of David, king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of that nation, made this statement. He said, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned." Now, I want to preach tonight, and I've preached this before here, but I really feel like after the last 2 days, this is what God wants tonight, and that's why I'm preaching this. I wouldn't preach under no other circumstance. I'd rather get up here and twiddle my thumbs, and I would preach something I felt like was outside the will of God. But I believe the Lord wants this preached. I want to preach on enduring love. A love that will endure. It'll stand the test of time. It'll not fade away in the rough times and the bad times, but it'll stand strong. It'll provide exactly what you and I need to comfort and help us through the storms and the trials of life. It'll be a blessing to us when we're in trouble. It'll be a blessing to us when we're sick and afflicted. It'll be a blessing to us when we're in labors and trials and so forth. It can help us and be a blessing to us. I want to preach on that thought, if I may, of God's enduring love. Now, love is not an easy subject to speak on. And I'm talking about regardless if it is the infinite love of God that we're referring to or the finite love of man. Love seems to be so deep and mysterious that mortal tongue finds it very difficult to describe and define it. And that it is. The Lord made this statement. He said in John 13:1, He said, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. That's an enduring love. He loved them unto the end. But you know, the blessedness, blessed truth of that is that He's going to love you and I in like manner. He's going to love us until we're lifted out of this world, either by the rapture or walking through the veil. And I used to preach that there's a little light at the end of the tunnel when you die, but I've learned better than that lately. There's not just a little light at the end of the tunnel. There's a light all the way through the tunnel, because He will be that light that will walk with us if we die and pass through that veil. Now, it's kind of difficult for mortal tongue really to describe and define what love really is. There is an instructive love, and such as a mother has for her children. And there is a instructive love where one has to be, there's an instinctive love, rather, such as a mother has for her children. And it's just a natural thing for a woman to love her children. And you know, I'm troubled these days about picking up the newspaper and reading about these women and men that have murdered their own children. They've lost their natural affection is what they've done. They certainly don't have that instinctive love. And here's where I get that. Even the wild beasts of the field protect their children when they're in danger. And their lives in danger. And it's because they love that little offspring. And there's many animals that will protect that offspring unto their own death. But mommies and daddies today have strayed from that kind of love.
Right.
And the instinctive love just to simply love your children as we ought to is no longer in this world. Every time you pick up the paper, a man has burned a house down and killed him and his children. Or a woman has killed her and her children. And these things are not natural. It's because people have lost their natural affection. I'm confident of that very thing. And then there's an instructive love where a person must be taught. You know, the Bible said, husbands, love your wives. There's a husband and wife relationship. And those women, believe it or not, ladies, it's a natural thing for a man to love his wife because we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But a woman has got to be taught how to really love her husband. For the Bible said in Ephesians, in Titus 2:4, said the older women are to teach the young women to love their husbands. And I wonder if we find a problem there today in the house of God. Are we failing? Are the older men failing in teaching their younger men how to love and provide for their homes? Are the elderly women in the house of God, are they failing in teaching the young women how they're to love their own husbands? And don't tell me it's not in the Bible. I just read it to you. It's in there. That women, young women, need to be taught how to love their husbands. And they don't really have a full, and ladies, I love you in the Lord, but you don't really have a full understanding of how to love your own husband. It's something that's got to be taught to you. Oh, I know what we say. We fell in love. Well, it's like Brother Gee said the other night. I don't believe in this thing of falling in love. Do you realize what that implies, falling in love? You know what it means to fall? When somebody falls down, they fall.
Right?
Is that the way you fell in love with your husband? Your wife? We don't fall in love with somebody. Love is something that God puts in a man and a woman's heart and for one another and even for Him. And so love also is both an object and an objective. The object of Christ's love is sinners. Boy, we say amen right there. This is a worthy saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And so the object of His love is sinners. Boy, if we could ever get a hold of that, amen, that Jesus loves sinners. I don't think people really get a hold of that the way they should. I'm not talking about, a lot of people want to think they need to get real good and to polish themselves up and begin to shine and shine real brightly for the Lord in order for Him to love them and to save them. But on the contrary, God loves sinners. And He came in the world to save sinners. It's not a man that's good that's going to heaven. It's a man that's bad. I'll guarantee if you look at yourself as being good, you're going to wind up going to hell. That's right. I want to repeat that. Even tonight in this building, those of us that claim to be saved by the grace of God, and we look at ourselves as being good, we're very deceived. We're not good. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Some of these kids around here, I joke with them all the time. They'll come up and I'll say, well, how you doing? And they'll say, oh, I'm good. And I say, well, now wait a minute, you might be doing good, but you're not good. Amen. They'll look at me kind of strange. And I'll say, because the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. And so there is none that is good. And so love has got an object and an objective, and it is sinners. Christ loves sinners, and the objective is that with cords of kindness, that He would draw them unto Himself and bless them throughout all eternity. You know, that's an amazing thing to me. You know, somebody said, well, I remember the day I came to Jesus. Well, I remember the day that Jesus brought me to Him.
Amen.
With cords of kindness, He draws us unto Himself, that we might repent of our sins and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Now you can say amen or oh me. No sinner has ever come to Christ. It is not natural. We're sinners. And a sinner will flee from Christ. But I'm glad that He come into the world to seek and to save what? That which was lost. And if He is seeking sinners, then that tells me they're not flocking to Him in order to be saved. I don't see our building full tonight. I don't see our building maybe half full. But I don't see it full tonight. I don't see lost people knocking down our doors to get in here and hear the gospel of Christ being preached to you. They're not flocking to Him. He's got to bring them unto Himself. He's got to draw them unto Himself. And what will they be if they fight and kick all the way? I'll tell you where they'll be. They'll be lost somewhere out here in the world without God and without hope, and they'll die and go to hell. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe a sinner can reject God. Well, you don't read the same Bible I do.
Amen.
Amen. He come unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Don't tell me sinners can't reject the love of God. I know better. Amen. They have, and they have through the years. They are today, and they'll always be rejecting Him. Now, according to our text, the love of Christ and His people have really, they love one another. And that love that they have for one another, I'll name several things, and then I'll mention some other things, and we'll go to the house. But that love is unquenchable. Notice what it says. Many waters cannot quench love. In other words, love between the child of God and his Savior is like a thirsty man that just cannot get enough to drink. Have you ever been that way, been out in the heat of the day, working all day, and it seems like the more you drink, the thirstier you get? Well, that's the way this kind of love is. If you really love Christ, it seems like the more that you love Him and He loves you, the more of it you want. And you'll catch that after a while. Amen. I'll tell you, I've been saved for a few years, and I've never been fully and completely satisfied with all the love of God. Now, don't hold on there. Hold on there. What I'm saying is that He loves me so much, but yet the more He loves me, the more love, the more of His love that I want. It's like that little bride that sat down under that apple tree in the Song of Solomon. And she was at the Lord's banqueting house, and the banner over her was love, is what she said. But then she turned around and said, she said, stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. In other words, hey, that comfort me with flagons, stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples. She said, hey, he has loved me so much that I'm weak. He has made me weak within myself, but prop me up that he might love me just a little bit more. I'm telling you, we are talking about the most wonderful love that has ever been brought to mankind, and that is the love that Christ has for you and I as unworthy sinners, that he died for, shed his blood for, birthed us into the family of God, took us under his wing, and by the grace of God, he is going to sanctify us, holy one these days, and carry us into the presence of God, into heaven itself. What a wonderful God that we have. I'm saying that's wonderful. Amen. You better believe that's right. And so there's an unquenchable love. Many waters cannot quench love. It just cannot be satisfied. If it could be satisfied, we'd be in poor shape. You know what? Hey, you know what causes divorces? Men and women get satisfied with one another. They start looking for something else to satisfy. They get so satisfied that they're looking for something else to satisfy them just a little more. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't that way with the Lord. Man. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, when he satisfies, he just keeps on satisfying. Amen. Hey, and in fact, he enjoys you and I. He enjoys it when you and I seek out his love even to a greater degree. When we love him more and more. When we spend more time with him, when we stay more in the Word of God, when we commune with him on our knees, when we pray to him and talk to him and worship him and sing to him and praise him, amen, he enjoys that more and more. And I'm going to tell you, the more we praise him and love him, the more we ought to want to. Ought to never be satisfied. Ought to never be satisfied. I want to say secondly that love is unconquerable. He said, neither can floods drown it. That love that we have for Christ and he has for us, it can't be conquered. There's not a thing that can conquer it. Now in Romans 8, verses 35 through 7, now I want you to listen to me carefully. Forevermore, people has always thought that this is in reference to Christ loving you and I. You got it backwards. It's in reference to you and I loving Christ. When Paul wrote this, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Can I ask you something? Do you think that tribulation in our life will cause Christ to stop loving us? I don't. Tribulation in our life, if it does anything, amen, will may help us to enjoy more of his love. Right. Amen. Oh, yeah. Tribulation ain't gonna stop him from loving us. And it's not gonna stop us from loving him according to the text. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And these words, hey, that's right. And so, all these things, he said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about we can conquer persecution and overcome it. Amen. We can conquer famine and overcome it. By the way, that's not talking about a famine for food either. That's talking about a famine for the Word of God. Somebody said, how can we conquer that? Can we not overcome a spiritual famine? Surely we can. Surely there's enough food in the Lord that we can overcome a spiritual famine if we'll feast on the riches of God's grace. I mean, it is available to us. His grace is an abundance to us. And there's all that we'll ever need to feast on all the days of our life. Amen. That's exactly right. And we're more than conquerors. Nay, in all these things. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want to say that that kind of love is unpurchasable. Notice what it said. If a man would give all the substance of his house, it would be utterly contemned. You can't buy love.
Amen.
Now, and I won't pause right here for a minute. Let's look at it as a worldly thing. And people, there's actually people today that entertain the idea that they can buy somebody else's love. You can't. Now, as a young man, I'm going to be honest with you. As a young man, I had very few friends. Very few friends. Because I was a poor boy. But when I got a little bit of money, everybody was my friend. Are you listening to me? And as long as I had that little bit of money, buddy, I tell you, I had all the friends in the world. But when that money was gone, guess what? So were those friends. They were gone too. I'm simply saying that money cannot buy love, and it cannot buy friendship, and it cannot buy love. It's an impossibility. We can't buy God's love either. God's love is not for sale. Isaiah 55:1 said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." We can come and buy milk and honey and wine without price. I mean, it's free. It's God's free gift to you and I. You cannot buy. There was a man in the book of Acts by the name of Simon. And he saw that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, that the Holy Ghost was given. And he said, "Here's money. Give me that power that whosoever I lay my hands on, they'll receive the Holy Ghost too." And Peter, as brazen as any man I've ever seen, walked up to that sorcerer now, I'm talking about a witch,
Amen,
that had professed Christ and didn't know him.
Amen.
And he said, "Hey, your money will perish with you. Because you've got the idea that money can buy the love of God, and it can't do it."
Amen.
Amen. Hey, it is a free gift. It's exactly what Hosea said. "Ho, everyone that is thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, yea, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." It cannot be bought.
That's right.
I can just put it this way. Salvation is not for sale.
Amen.
You can't buy your salvation. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You can't give your way into heaven. Oh, no. You can't work your way in, and you can't give your way in. You know why? Because it is a gift.
Amen.
Friend, I'm telling you, salvation, oh, it's free.
Yes, sir.
If people would ever get a hold of that. Just last time I looked at it, something was free. All you had to do is reach out and take hold of it.
That's right.
It's free.
Amen.
It's not for sale. It's free. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, money cannot buy love. The poorest man, listen to what I'm saying. The poorest man can both love and be loved. It does not take money to be loved. And it does not take money to love someone either. No, sir. The poorest of men can possess the most priceless gift in all the world. We was riding up the road. Josh took me down to the doctor's office the other day. And we was coming back. And we're always cutting up about buying cars and this and that. And travel trailers and motorhomes and one thing or another. And Josh said, "I'll tell you what, Pop." You just get a Lamborghini and said, "I'll drive you and Deucey around anywhere y'all want to go." Well, that'd be good. But there's only one problem with that. I can't buy a Lamborghini. I don't have enough money to buy one. And if a man cannot buy a Lamborghini, he certainly to God can't buy God.
Amen.
Amen. He can't buy heaven. He can't buy Christ.
Amen. Right.
He's not for sale. Salvation is not for sale.
Amen.
It's a free gift. No, people got the idea they got to be baptized for it. God help them. Now, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. I won't say again, God help them.
Amen.
Somebody was telling us in there a moment ago that the Mormon faith, they said that they, in their church, they have a, that they've been in one of them, and they have a place at the baptistry that's kind of cut. It looks like something you could almost walk down into or drive a car into. And when they said, when somebody dies, they baptize that dead person. And think, hey, that goes beyond what the Catholics think. That you got to be, even the Catholics, the Catholics baptize an infant. That's bad. The Carmelites baptize adults and think that baptism will put them into heaven. But the Mormons baptize a dead man thinking he's going to heaven. And the Catholics think that you can buy him out of hell or purgatory. Buy him out of purgatory. I'm telling you, salvation cannot be bought. God's love is not for sale. Amen. It's ever before you. Reach out and take a hold of it. Embrace it. It's the most wonderful thing that has ever been brought to man. It's God's heart of love to you and I that ought to be in hell, but because that He loved us, He made it possible that we also may love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. No man ever loved God, and God loved him first. Amen. Brought him to himself. And so that love can't be bought. I won't say it's inextinguishable. It's like fire that cannot quench, that water cannot quench, and floods cannot drown. On Luke 24:32, the Bible talks about two of these men walking on the road to Emmaus, the day of Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus walked up and was walking along with them. They were talking, and they asked him, Do you not know what today is? And he said, well, what about that? And he said, well, said, today is Jesus, a great prophet, was crucified. And said, beside that, said, today is the third day. That is, today's the day we're supposed to get up out of the grave. And Jesus said, oh, slow and fools of heart to believe. And he began and opened up all the scriptures concerning himself to them. And when they got to where they were going, he would have passed on. They invited him in. They still didn't know who he was. Hadn't recognized him. Now listen here. They were saved, folks. They had recognized him. Can I say that? I'm amazed at people today that are saved and never know when Jesus passes by. We sang that song, Jesus passed by. Do we really know when he passes by? They didn't. By the way, one of them, I believe, was Peter, and he still didn't know who the Lord was. Cephas, I believe that was him. And Jesus sat down and prayed, and he turned aside, and he sat down and prayed with them, broke bread, and they ate, and all at once he was gone. And they knew him in the breaking of bread. And one of them said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us and opened up the scriptures to us? What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm talking about that's the kind of fire that we need tonight.
Yep.
It's a fire that is burning in our heart from the Word of God. We need to get into that book and let that Word, oh yes, set a fire that'll burn in our heart, buddy, that there's nothing can quench. I'm talking about the love of God burning away in our heart for Him. That nothing or nobody can separate us from Him. That love cannot be severed from Him. It's like a raging fire that nothing can put out. Oh, water can't quench it. Okay, water can't put it out. Floods can't put it out. It just keeps on burning. The more you read, the hotter it gets. That's what some of you's problem in here now. That's why some of you ain't never shouted.
Amen.
I won't charge you anything for that. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you get something stirring down in you deep enough. You get the love of God burning down in you, in your heart, deep enough. Hot enough. Somebody said, you're talking crazy. No, I'm not talking crazy. I'm talking about, have you ever been around an older couple that's been married, say, for 50 years? And they just, you can just tell that there's so much love between them. They even they love each other so much and spent so much time together that they start talking like one another and acting like one another, doing things like one another. Well, that's the same way it is with us in Christ. We spend enough time with Him, you know what? We'll start acting like Him.
Amen.
We'll start talking like Him. We'll start looking like Him and thinking like Him and acting like Him. Amen to God.
Amen.
There will be a burning fire in our heart that cannot be put out. I'm talking about a love. I'm talking about a love that cannot be conquered, an unconquerable love. That's why I don't believe in falling from grace. Just a bunch of Arminians that want to tell me you can fall from grace and lose it. I don't know if they've ever had it. I never had anything that excited me so much for so long of a time than I have since that Sunday morning. When he came back to that little pew 5 rows back where I was sitting by the grace of God. That morning the Holy Ghost put His power in me and on me and lifted me up.
Amen.
I got born again. I'm going to tell you, I've been a happy camper, friend.
Amen.
It ain't always been easy. There's been trials and testings and that troubles and about turmoils. But I'm telling you, He's been with me every step of the way. You know why? He said He loved me and He'd never leave me and never forsake me. That love just keeps on a burning down in my soul.
Yeah.
He ain't going to leave me. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I lie. I don't know about you, but it's been there. That love of burning. I don't think it'll ever go out.
Amen.
The flame may have flickered, but the fire never went out.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, just about the time it's ready to go out, the wind will start blowing. They'll get to burning again.
Yeah.
Now, I know what some of you's thinking. You're stupid. Wind puts fire out, does it now? You go out, have you ever seen a prairie fire? You ever been out west and seen a prairie fire and it's burning? And that wind gets blowing against it. I'm going to tell you, it's a raging fire, friend. It's just a raging fire through that grassland out west. Oh, yeah. And you know what done it? It was just a little fire or the wind got to blowing. And I'm going to tell you something. The fire of God and the wind of the Holy Ghost gets to blowing in a man's soul. Brother, I'm telling you, there is nothing in this world that can conquer it or put it out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. You love Jesus that much tonight?
Yeah.
Now, I want to say a few things and I'll be done. I want to say number one, there's some enemies that have tried to quench or drown our love for Him and His love for us. And one of them is sin.
Amen.
S-I-N, sin. The Bible said, when His sin was made, when His soul was made sin for us, or when He became our sin offering. Psalm 69 verse 1 and 2 said, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. You know who said that? Who it was said about? It was said about Jesus. It wasn't said about you or I. It was said about Him. Yes, sir. The floods, the waters, they came into Him and He sank in deep mire and there was no standing. And the waters were deep. But I'm going to tell you something. He conquered the waters.
Yep.
And He conquered the mire and He conquered the floods for you and I. And came out victorious, ladies and gentlemen. Because of His love for you and I.
Yep.
I'm trying to preach on love a couple of times. I'm talking about His love for you and I.
Amen.
I don't want to go into detail on this. It may offend some of you. But that water, that means wastewater. Wastewater. Not just a pool of water. Wastewater. If I can put it this way, septic tank water.
Amen.
Sewer water. He was sinking in the muck and the mire of the sewer.
That's right.
Now you can believe that or not. It don't make a bit of difference to me. I hope you will, but if you don't, there's nothing I can do about it. And the devil really thought he had it. But I'm going to tell you before that last before that last billow rolled over his soul. He arose!
Amen.
He got up!
Amen. Yes, sir.
He overcame, hallelujah!
Amen.
And he conquered because he loved you and I. He conquered what we could not conquer ourselves. He conquered and overcame it for us, hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen. And then the mire, this mud. There he is in the muck and the mire and the mud. It's like quicksand. Ever see a man in quicksand? The more he fights, the deeper he gets, the quicker he goes under. Animals get in quicksand and they just begin to sink and sink. That's what this is a picture of. Talking about Jesus was in that, when he was dying on the cross, it was like he was in that quicksand. And he just began to sink deeper and deeper. And the old devil, I no doubt, thought, I got him now. He's just about to go under. But I'm going to tell you, before that quicksand could draw him under, he rose one more time.
Amen.
He stood up one more time.
Yes.
He overcame one more time.
Amen.
Oh, yes, you better believe it. Hallelujah. Sin! That muck and mire of sin tried to destroy him. But it didn't have the power to do it. Amen. I'm going to say,
Amen.
These words may have been spoken, when I just spoke to you. These words here may have been spoken in the garden when his soul was made to be sin for us. He may have been, and it may have been followed by this verse in Luke 22:42, when he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When our sin was laid on him. Our sin was just like Isaac, when that wood was laid on Isaac. Laid off of those mules, those donkeys that represented sinners. They were brought off of those donkeys and laid on Isaac that represented Christ. And he carried that wood that represents sin up Mount Moriah. And he said, Father, said, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, Son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Yeah.
And he made that, Abraham made that altar and laid that boy down on that wood. And raised that knife to slay his own son. And God spoke to him out of heaven and said, Abraham said, don't touch the boy. He said, I know now that you love me. And Abraham looked and saw a ram caught in the thicket.
Yep.
And brought that ram over there and slew the ram and offered it as a sacrifice. Guess what? That wood that was to be the thing. Hey, Isaac was laying on that wood as Christ laid on the cross, made of wood. Amen. And the fire of sin was burning.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something. He got up off of that wood and walked back down with his father. And the sin stayed up on top of the mountain, folks. It didn't come back down with him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That sin couldn't conquer Christ. It tried to, but it couldn't do it. May I say, secondly, that suffering, tried to quench and drown his love. Tried to quench and drown his love. Psalm 22:14. He said, I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. That's referred to the Lord. Now, hey, that ought to break every one of our hearts. When we think that our Lord, he said, my body. Have you ever seen water poured out on the ground? It just runs in every direction. He said, my body has just got, it has no stability. All my strength, all my energy, all my power is gone. It's poured out like water. Besides that, all of my bones feel like they're out of joint.
Yep.
He said, my heart within me, it feels like it's melted like wax. And I have no more strength to go. But I'm going to tell you, just before we run out of strength, the Father gave him just a little bit more.
Yep.
Amen. That's right. You better believe that's right. And that's suffering. Tried to quench his love for us. But it didn't get the job done. Why? You think that he enjoyed that? Would you enjoy that? I wouldn't. I wouldn't enjoy being nailed to a cross. Feeling like my whole body was poured out like water. My heart melted like wax within me. But he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't do it. He loved us enough that He died alone for you and me. Oh, what a Savior is mine. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You better believe that's right. Amen. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Oh, what amazing love. What wonderful love that He has for us. Bless His holy name. Brother, you're looking at one man that realizes tonight where I ought to be. I ought to be in hell, and every one of us in here ought to be in hell, a kicking and a flouncing in the flames of hell. But Christ walked up Calvary's hill and suffered on the cross and paid a debt that you and I could not pay ourselves. We should have been crucified. But He was crucified in our place and died in our place because of His wonderful love for you and I. Amen. Nobody made Him. Hey, nobody paid Him to go. Nobody slipped Him a $20 bill under the table. Before you and I ever were born, before we were ever created, the Son looked at the Father and said, I'll go. You know why? Have you ever read in the book of Proverbs where He said that His delight was where? With the sons of men. God, yeah, but if that don't help you, nothing will. His delight was with the sons of men. Before the foundation of the world ever was, He loved you. Right. Somebody said, you're a nut screwed onto the right bolt.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He suffered on the cross. Then scoffers, another enemy. Psalm 22:7-8 said, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighteth in him. Psalm 18:4 said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. They marched around that cross, that bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees.
Amen.
People marched around that cross. If you be the Son of God, why don't you come down? Save yourself and we'll believe you. Those two that were dying with Him cast the same in His teeth. If you're really the Son of God, why don't you come down and save yourself and us too, and then we'll believe you. Oh no, it don't work that way. We got to believe. Amen. We got to believe first, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Scoffers tried to get Him down. Enemies of the cross. Enemies of His love. You know what happened if He got down off that cross? Where would you and I be today? God help us.
Amen.
We might still be alive and be in the world. But if He had just left, you know, if that had been me up there, you know what I'd want to do? I'd want to knock the ever-living devil out of every one of them. I'd want to take me a 2x4, bless God, and go to work on them. But not Christ.
Amen.
Even those that were His enemies, that walked around His cross and scoffed at Him and mocked Him. He loved them. Them that spit on Him, He loved them. Those that smote Him in His face, He loved them. Those that picked at His beard, He loved them. Those that beat Him with a cat of nine tails, He loved them. Those Pontius Pilate and Herod both that condemned Him, He loved them. Judas that deceived Him. He loved Him.
Amen.
What a God. I'm amazed at His love for us. Amen. Scoffers. That scoffer. It tried its very best to quench and drown His love for us. Then I want to say His separation from God. Psalm 22:1, He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. I'll tell you why. Because, hey, love is strong as death.
Amen.
Love is strong as death.
Right.
Eve, when she transgressed against God, when she was deceived, old Adam looked over there at her in her sinful condition, and he knew by her looks that she had fallen into sin. She was a sinner. Something different about them too. And because He loved her so much. Are you listening to me? I said, love is strong as death.
Amen.
He loved her so much that he was willing to cross, to pass from life unto death, that he might be with that bride. But he didn't have the power to bring her back, or him either. But I'm telling you that Christ loved you and I enough.
Yes,
that when he passed from life unto death, thank God he had the power to come back across the line. He loved us enough that he come to where we were and lifted us out of death and gave us life. Hallelujah. And not only life, but he gave it to us more abundantly. Bless his holy name. And we drag around like we got dead lice rolling off of us. We ought to be the happiest gang in all the world. Somebody said, hey, I don't make much money. You're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're better off than Mitt Romney with $240 million.
Amen. Amen.
If you're saved and have 50 cents, you're better than David Donald Trump that left a $10,000 tip one time. Asked a young waiter, said, son, how much is the biggest tip you ever made? And he said, I don't know, $150, $200. At a party, at a group, just a restaurant. When Donald Trump wrote out his cut-out ticket, I saw the ticket online. And he wrote it out and the tip was $10,000. I'm going to tell you, like Simon the Sorcerer, unless he gets saved, that money will perish with him.
Amen.
You and I are better off than the wealthiest of the wealthiest.
Amen.
If we're saved by the grace of God. We've got something that reaches way out beyond the realm of power of money, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if you pile the world full of it a dozen times, it still couldn't buy what we have.
Amen.
No, sir. Couldn't buy it. Didn't have the ability to buy it.
Yes.
You'll get the fact, you'll get a hold of the fact that's why God loves you. And God loves you just like you are. He made you the way you are.
Amen.
He created you the way you are. Where none of us are alike. Some folks are black. Some are white. Some are Indians. Some are Chinese. Different. But you know, God loved them. Somebody said, no, I don't believe that. Well, I do.
Amen.
Vietnamese. He loves them. Hallelujah. Love is strong as death. Death will never overcome love. I started just to put away this outline tonight and preach on the day that death met its match.
Amen.
Oh, yes. When death marched up Calvary that day and said, I've got him! He met his match right there on Mount Calvary. He met a man that in his lowest moment, in what appeared to be his weakest hour, had more strength than death had. Death couldn't hold him prey. 3 days later, he got out of that grave.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And conquered death and hell in the grave for you and I. I believe it's right. Amen. And I want to say another foe that we have is old Satan himself. In Mark 15:32, when they were marching around Christ, he said, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. Why do you think whoever said that wanted him to come down? I don't believe anybody wanted him off of that cross any more than the devil. Oh, he wanted him to come down.
Amen.
He wanted him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple.
Right.
He wanted him to turn stones into bread. He wanted him to fall down and worship him.
Amen.
He wanted him to come over the cross. And I'm going to tell you, when he was on a cross, we was on his mind.
Right.
And his great love wherewith he loved us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sinful. He loved me. I'll tell you, don't ever go to my wife and ask her anything about me. If she tells on me, I'll spank her. You're looking at one of the sorriest men that ever lived. I mean that. But I'm going to tell you what. I set my eyes one day on one that's greater than all.
Amen.
In Him is life. And that life is the light of men. He came into the world to give you life. And to give it to you more abundantly. More abundantly. Not just a draggy, worn out life. But a real life. Somebody told me one time, it made me so mad. They said it's a preacher that we all know. Went on this web page. One that everybody always fights on. And it wasn't a web page that belonged to the preacher. It wasn't a man that said that. It was another man. And he wrote on there and he said, this man said to somebody, he said, "Why don't you get a life? Why don't you find something, you know, that interests you, that you can do, spend your..." And I thought, boy, I would to God. I'd just like to have the liberty just one time to get on that stupid website, just one time. I'd have said, "Sir, September the 13th, 1900, and said that I got my life."
Amen.
Amen, that's right. I got a life. That life is Christ.
Amen.
Amen, that's right. And I hope you got that life tonight. That love, that unconquerable love that cannot be conquered. To our dear Armenian friends out there, there is a bond between us and Christ that nothing can break. Nothing. Our relationship is one that can't be broken.
Amen.
I'm going to make some of you mad right here. You realize that relationship is something that cannot ever be broken? You know, Joel Gray will never cease being the son of Roy Gray. I don't care. His daddy's gone now, but he'll never cease being the son of Roy Gray.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. We'll never cease being the son of Christ.
That's right.
Now, don't nobody get mad at me right here. That Bible said relationships. That Bible tells me, when a man and woman are married, they twain shall become one flesh. They have a relationship. They ain't get away from it either.
That's right.
What God joined together, let not man put asunder. But because of the hardness of your hearts, God gave Moses a law of divorce. Because of the hardness of their hearts. But from the beginning, it was not so. Relationship is something that can never be broken. And when you get saved, He becomes your Father.
Amen.
Can't be broken. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." You need to read your Bible some, sir, ma'am. Isn't it so wonderful to know that you can pillow your head tonight with the truth in your heart? That if you never saw the sun come up in the morning,
yep,
should be in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a wonderful thought.
Amen.
I'm getting to be an old man. I'm old enough now, I don't have to get sick to die. I can just die. Yeah, really. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't running to it. I ain't running from it. I'm going to see Jesus. He's loved me a long time, folks. He's taken care of me in a way that I never dreamed that He would. Blessed me in ways that I never dreamed was possible. I started to go back, but I don't know where I want to or not. But I'm telling you, you're talking about a redneck, hick, country boy that didn't know Adam's house cat from nothing. I didn't know nothing. When I went in the Army, I hadn't been no farther. Adam, hardly out of town in Louisville. 30 miles away. I'm talking about an almost an idiot when it comes to worldly knowledge. But boy, I'm saying when I met Jesus, I never dreamed I'd ever meet Him. But I did.
Amen.
And today He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I'm His own.
Amen.
And the joy we share.
Amen.
We got the words to that.
As we tarry there.
None other has ever known.
Amen.
Now you shall know about that. That says, you don't understand the love I have with Him, and I don't understand the love you have with Him. I can't share your love with Him. And you can't share His love with me. You catch a hold of that after a while. I just come to me. You get a hold of that after a while. But you can't share His love with me, and I can't share His love with you. But don't worry. He's got enough to go around for everybody.
All right.
He's not short on it. He'll not run out of it. Let's all stand together.